This is episode 6. Packard pokes at Bacon Apocalypse.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard pokes at, and I'm poking at your news.
Hello, everybody. This is Packard Sonic here with your news that is news, or it might be news. Who knows? This is one of those weird weekends. We got a lot of strange stuff. On my right tonight is Eric.
Hello.
And on my left, well, virtual left, either way, is Dan Johnson.
Way over here.
You betcha. We're going to do a little something different tonight. We're going to jump right into our politics section. Right after our quick corrections, which we need again. But Eric has Get Ready for the Rapture, so he's gonna he's going to be cutting out a little early tonight, so we'll do
I got to put on my tinfoil hat and everything.
That's right. All right, let's get into the corrections this evening.
Uh-oh.
We goofed.
Tonight, the correction is my error. Actually, kind of on myself. I said in episode 5, that was the previous episode, that no other president had been investigated for the birth certificate. But I remembered that on a later episode, on an earlier episode, I don't remember which one off the top of my head, that none of them had ever been investigated, and that was my fault. I do apologize. So I don't remember if I said it was just the Tea Party was involved or not, because I can't find it now. But at least I will correct myself if I make a mistake. Alrighty now. Now, since we're going to go right into this, we're gonna kind of jump. We're gonna jump around a little bit tonight because, like I said, Eric has to go get ready. So we are going to get right into politics.
Politics.
Now, apparently, there's a poll that Americans are as unhappy as ever with Congress. Really? No kidding. Mostly it's the GOP. If you haven't guessed or heard, or you only watch Fox News where they say glowing stuff about the GOP where they can do no wrong, apparently more than 2-to-1 voters say that members of Congress don't deserve re-election. Imagine a historic low reached last spring. 28% said members should get another term in office, and 60% say they should be replaced. Now, most of these people, I believe, are the GOP. They're screwing up. I mean, they come in. I think a lot of the GOP is the Tea Party people who are just they shaking everything up. I'll give them that. They know how to shake things up. The only problem is they're shaking it in the wrong direction, and they're blowing the dust back in their faces. They're trying to kill Medicare. They're trying to kill, and then they turn around and go back and say, "Oh no, we didn't want to kill Medicare. The liberals want to kill Medicare." When they have it on record that they wanted to kill Medicare. I mean, this is just total nonsense from them. I mean, they get caught up in their lies, and the place where they should have, like, there's one place in, I think it's New York, they have an easy win. And they have to fight for it. They spent over $1 million trying to fight to keep the seat from a Democrat. I mean, the GOP, you guys are going out the window quickly. I know you got to go, Eric, so what's your thoughts on this?
Okay, so before the show began, Packard already started getting my blood boiling, so
here we go. Of course.
Now, I'm looking at this story, and granted that, yes, the GOP is majority of the House and all that, they're not the only ones in
right.
there.
Well, I know there's Democrats.
And
in there too.
I'm actually looking at the story, and they're saying, "Oh, well, you know, the Republicans took over," but they said that, according to the, they're talking about Congress as a whole,
right?
You know, so that's Democrats too,
right?
And if we want to look at just what's going on as a whole,
mm-hmm.
here's the issue. We have a whole bunch of people over there making decisions, and a lot of it's poor decisions. We have high unemployment.
Very poor.
Our debt is going through the roof. High government spending. And no, you know, you have one side saying, "Hey, let's make cuts." You have the other side saying, "Hey, let's spend more money." Or let's make no cuts, you know. And
well, the thing
no
is
one's
that
getting along. No one's knowing No one's fixing the actual problem, or no one wants to deal with the problem, because in order to deal with the problem, you have to make tough decisions.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
But the thing that they want to cut the middle class. They don't want to cut the things that are really taking money out of our pockets. Big oil
entitlements.
But, yeah, the entitlement for big oil. Big oil and a lot of big businesses.
And Social Security and Medicare.
Those kind of entitlements, no one wants to touch those. I mean,
that's the problem, because they are creating a huge deficit. No longer you can sit here and you can talk about all the tax cuts and all that, and tax cuts don't contribute anything to the debt, because that's not government money. That's just giving money back to the people who've earned it and who've made it. The issue is that government, instead of sitting there saying, hey, let's save, things are going well, we're getting all this money in, let's take some of this money and save it. Instead, they sit there and say, oh, well, we got an extra $2 million. Where can we spend that $2 million?
Well, there are infrastructures that need to be spent on. And
I agree.
I say we should spend this money on the people. The people who make up this country. Not the oil companies are the biggest ones that are getting all this money. They're making profits. Big, huge profits. The American people for the Medicare, the Social Security, ask anybody that wants to that the Republicans are going after, they're backpedaling on this big time, and then they're claiming, oh no, it's not us that want to take it, it's the liberals that want to take it away from you. They've got it on recording that they're the ones that are doing this. There's a Republican went down to Florida because they also want to take a week off after they work a week, take a week off, which is really stupid, but I mean, I couldn't do that. But they go back down to Florida. Or he goes back down to Florida, gives a town hall, and he basically, these people were cheese to the hilt. They were not nice to him. So, I mean, this is the big oil companies and these big corporations, they need to have the tax cut breaks taken away from them. This is where, if they're the ones bringing in all this money, they need to bring it back. Not take it
but
from
they
not
earned that money. Government hasn't
fine.
Earned
they,
that money.
That's fine.
They have put in the investments, the time, the research, the resources, the manpower. They created the jobs for that.
Yeah, but that's trickle. That goes back to the whole trickle down economics, and we found out that does not work.
Well, evidently the plan that Barack Obama doesn't work either, because we still have high unemployment.
Well,
the only reason why the stock market is doing well is because
Bin Laden was killed.
No. It's not even because of that. It's because they're artificially inflating. They kept interest rates low, and they're buying back bonds. What is it that they're buying back? It's quantitative easing too. It artificially inflated the stock market. The stock market's doing fine, or is doing okay because of that. When that starts going away, watch what's going to happen to the stock market.
Yeah. Well,
and I mean and. That's the thing, and that's where I get into to, you know, the thing is that I hope people understand this. Whenever Republicans aren't, we do believe in taxes. Or I'm shouldn't refer.
They believe more in tax cuts for the rich.
Well, they believe in tax cuts for everyone. You know, well, and they believe that if here's what they believe, because George Bush didn't only cut the taxes for the rich, they cut taxes for everyone. And the only reason why the tax cuts for the rich might be higher, might be a little more, is because the rich pay more.
No, they don't. They pay less. They actually pay less in taxes than the average person does. For example, if you had gone down to the store and, say, bought a bag of groceries, you paid more taxes on that bag of groceries or whatever than the oil company did all in a year.
But is that because of a sales tax versus a
no? I'm just talking the amount. I'm just talking the whole amount. You paid in one bag of groceries. You paid more taxes on that bag of groceries than the oil company paid in a year. I mean, all year. So that doesn't hold water. That they're making more. They're paying more in taxes because they don't pay taxes. They're getting that revenue enhancement. They're actually getting money back from the government and the subsidies on top of it, which they don't need. I mean, the subsidies are total nonsense. They don't. They don't need them. If they to why do they need them to ship the oil? No, they got money to burn on this. I mean, they are making literally thousands and thousands of dollars per second. And I'm not talking to cover overhead. I'm talking profit here. This is a profit. Now if they have this much profit, they can afford to put that money back into their own equipment. These people need to be autonomous. They don't need our money. And every time that anybody, I wish I could remember the guy that got in there and apologized to the big oil company. Because, oh, I apologize. We want to, these other company people want to tax you. Oh, I apologize. And they put him in charge of energy? I mean, really? This man has the morality of a flea, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, go ahead.
But in the end, I mean, the thing is that could we shore up some of these loopholes and stuff like that? Yes, we could. Now, I'm not going to claim to sit here and know all there is to know about oil and gas. Now, I live in Louisiana. Oil and gas is a very precious thing to us. That's where majority of our economy is. I want, you know, do I want to pay $4 per gallon for gas? No. And I do not support that, unlike Barack Obama, who is okay with $4 a gas, just was...
You know, in reality, we have paid some of the lowest gas prices in the world. I mean, I'm not saying I enjoy these gas prices. I don't. I really, really don't, because it really puts a crimp in my whole lifestyle. Not that I have much of a lifestyle anyway. But the thing... but it still puts a dent in my wallet, and I can't pay for, you know, to keep my phone on, rent, electricity, things like that.
Right. So. And the thing is that I need the oil and gas business to do well, because whenever the oil and gas business does poor, we suffer. Our education here in Louisiana right now is taking a huge hit.
Because your gas prices are going up?
Well, not because – well, because people aren't spending money. That's really
– Oh, yeah. Well, see, that goes – follows back to the thing is that the companies don't have to pay the corporations money. It could go back to the people. The people, what they do with that money, they spend
it. All I'm going to say is this. The oil and gas company paid a huge amount of taxes this year. Regardless of what
they
said, they paid a huge amount of taxes. GE, who backed Barack Obama – paid zero.
Yeah, I know
what
GE didn't.
And I'm not saying that we can't look at the oil and gas company and figure out, okay, are they really paying their fair share? There's a whole lot that goes into oil and gas production. A whole lot.
Right.
More than what you and I who are outsiders looking in can even determine.
Right.
But I know this. From all that I have seen and all I have read, they've paid taxes. GE has not. And has GE done a goodwill favor and said, look, you know, we made all this money. Here you go. No, they're okay with it. And does Barack Obama go over there and say, well, you guys are just making too much money and now we think you should give some back? No, where is he on that?
I think these companies, I mean, GE, NBC, whoever, doesn't matter. They should all pay their fair share, including the oil companies. Before we get too far, we're leaving Dan alone here. Dan, what is he's like sitting here. I know I can just hear him going, I want to say something. So you go
ahead. to get back to the part of the original thing, you know, about the Americans being as unhappy as ever with Congress, I don't know that it's necessarily that Americans are more unhappy with the Republicans that are in there now. I think it's that the Democrats are generally as unhappy as they are with Congress, regardless of who's in there.
Yeah.
I think that right now there are a lot more Republicans unhappy with their own Republican congressmen than have ever had before.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
I think in general, Democrats... are along the lines of, it's okay not to fit in the mold. Republicans in general try to stick together and say, well, if you don't go along with this, you're not one of us.
Right.
And I beg to differ on that. I beg to differ because look at the difference.
You know, again, it's not everybody. I think it's just the majority.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't even say the majority because, look, we had John McCain. You know,
and, John McShane?
And even George Bush. As much as everyone likes to criticize George Bush, he wasn't a true conservative. He was a social conservative. He was a diehard social conservative.
Oh, yeah, but
whenever it came to fiscal policy, he spent like crazy.
Well, and I think that's what's driving us away from having it being lockstep. I mean, I think there is fiscal responsibility and the social conservatism aren't going hand in hand the way they were. And you've got people on either side that are not happy,
right?
And they're all ostensibly Republicans.
Yeah.
Well, I just think the true issue is that Congress filled with a whole bunch of lying cheaters.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everybody's tired of the same thing where they're promised a bill of goods,
isn't that
they're
redundant?
Not giving it.
Yeah. Lying, cheating congressman? No, that can't be. Our politicians are so honest. Oh, yes.
Well, and a lot of the unhappiness right now comes from the fact that everybody, Democrat and Republican alike, ran on platforms of we're going to get in and we're going to take care of this. And guess what? They're doing everything but taking care of that.
Yeah, the Republicans...
We're in there arguing about pulling money away from National Public Radio and Planned Parenthood, which is a drop in the bucket compared to the real issues facing our economy.
Right. Yeah, they kept going, it's about jobs, jobs, jobs. And then they get in office and it's all about abortion, abortion, abortion. I mean...
Right. And that's the thing. And, you know, it's
been on both sides.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing is that, you know, both sides, whenever they start off, they always pander to whatever side they need to.
Right.
And then when all said and done and they get into office, they change.
Right. Well, it's like I said in a previous podcast, Republicans pander to their base and the Democrats hate theirs. So, which is true. I don't know why that is.
Okay.
I don't know why that is, but that's just the way it seems. I mean, they hate the Democrats. They hate their base. Until they got this thing that happened with Walker, then the base, our Democratic base, just said combined as one. It was better than trying to herd cats. I mean, it's like herding atheists, you know, herding cats. Anyway, okay. did you want to cover one more story? Or you got to get ready for your rapture party?
Yeah, I got to get ready for my rapture. So
okay.
Remember to wear clean underwear.
Yes,
I will do my best. I will be sitting in heaven, looking down upon y'all. So anyhow,
right?
Okay,
well, we'll see you on Friday.
We'll see you on Friday. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye, Eric.
Bye-bye, Eric.
Okay. All right. Well, we will get on with the rest of our show, then. We're going to get on with our tech stuff. We have a lot of interesting stuff here. There's Twitter is, you know, everybody that's here is basically because of Twitter. There's a Twitter lawsuit, actually. It underscores the power of the tweet, basically. Andrea Deck was home sick from school. Everybody here has ever heard of OMG facts. Apparently, he was 17 at the time, and all right, he is still 17. I forget which, but he puts out all these random facts, and he made these big headlines not too long ago. Apparently, some company got involved with him, tried to. Told him, oh, we'll help you out, and he ended up turning over. Was that?
Oh, that was Eric leaving our call.
Okay, nice little random noise there. Anyway,
so that's what the rapture sounds like.
There it is. Apparently, they had basically swindled him out of the rights to that account because it had over 400,000 followers and It grew from 400,000 followers to 1.9 million followers. So that's quite a large following. I mean, I'd love to have a following like that. So everybody that's in the chat room or whatever, you know, go out there and say, hey, follow me. No, I'm just kidding. No, please do. Your thoughts on that, Dan?
It's really an odd situation there. When you're in a situation like that, it's the dispute is whether or not the guy that started it can, you know, attribute this this great surge of popularity because of what he was doing and not because of what he sold things to or had the contract with were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in marketing, it's tough to say.
Right.
Did this do it? Did that do it? Hard telling. If the guy gets screwed over, he can blame it on himself for not having a good attorney look over the contract.
Right. Yeah, that's a good part of it, too. I mean, it's if you're going to go into a contract with somebody, these lawyers, they know how to manipulate the words and make it into such gobbledygook. It's alphabet soup, and you don't understand all of it. You could be signing your kidney away. There was actually an episode of South Park. Where Kyle just like hit agree, and apparently they kidnapped him and sewed him to the behind of a Chinese man, and a woman was tied, sewed to his behind, and it was there'll be a link in the show notes to the episode. It's quite something to see. All right, we're gonna, unless you have something else,
I think that about covers that one.
All right, well, we'll get to, whoops, ow, there goes my Dropbox, there we go. We'll get into our random tweet for that one.
What up?
Our random tweet comes from Pribzilla, actually. He was talking about Portal 2. Oh, he says, okay, I wasted half my life playing Portal 2, and I only got it yesterday. I got this for my daughter when it came out, and I don't remember if she had a part of that week off from school or something like that, and she spent every waking moment she could playing that. Until she got right to the end, and then there's like, whoa! I won't give away what happens at the end. You're gonna have to play it yourself. But it's not like a shoot 'em up game. There is some of that sort of, but it's a puzzle game. Overall, it's a puzzle game. It's you got to figure out which switch to turn to make this lever do that or whatever. I mean, puzzle games in general are, you know, pretty lame. But in this context, the way they present this, if you've ever played Portal or Portal 2, I sit here and watch it. I forget that I got other things to do because it's like I want to try this. Your thoughts, Dan?
My wife and I both are huge video game fans.
Oh yeah,
but we neither of us have ever played Portal.
Oh, you gotta play it. You gotta play this.
I mean. It's like so many games and so little time.
Yes.
the Assassin's Creed series we love.
Oh yeah, she's got those too.
All kinds of games. We're game junkies. So
yeah, I grew up playing video games. I mean, I spent one summer when I was working at Adele's, and I would go up. This arcade doesn't even exist anymore. There's something else there now. But I would go to this arcade, and I spent, I don't know, probably about $50 playing the Simpsons game when it came out. And there was like four controllers you could have up to four people playing. But I played it mostly by myself. And I played it until I got all the way to the end. I was like, I gotta finish this game. So video games have come quite a long way since Pong. Anyway, so...
Well, I actually... I worked at a video arcade in 1981 and 1982.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And,
that had to be fun.
Back when it was, you know, Defender and Galaxian.
Oh, I had those games. Actually, there's I can't tell you where to get the ROMs because that'd get me into so much trouble, I'm sure. But there's an emulator out there. It's called MAME. It's a machine arcade emulator.
Multiple arcade machine emulator.
Yeah, multiple arcade machine emulator. Thank you very much. And I got these ROMs. I could play Dig Dug, Time Pilot. Oh, all these games I couldn't play before because I didn't have either the money or the time or whatever. It is like, it just brings back memories. And you look at these old games compared to the new stuff, and they don't hold up anymore. I mean, as far as graphics, I mean, the storyline is kind of like, yeah, this is kind of boring. Why am I? I'm just doing the same thing over and over again, and it's not like the games that we have now. I mean, you go out, you can do some of the same things over there, but the circumstances just change. All right, you ready to move on?
I guess so. Since I really shouldn't say anything about the couple thousand ROM packages I have from we'll just move on.
Sounds good. Give me the news. There was a guy, he won $1 million lottery, and he was getting food stamps at the time, and he went to the place there, and he said, hey, I just won $1 million, and they told him, that's fine, just keep collecting food stamps. He did this for several months. I can't even understand why these people would do this, but apparently, they say, based on what I saw on the article here, it's because his income was still low. They base it on, this is what they do. They base, and I know Eric, if Eric was here, he'd be going, on this. But it's based on the income. It's what comes in. I don't know, unless he took like a lump sum. I really don't know. It doesn't say. But I think he should pay back some of this money that went to the food stamps. You know, or set up something with them. Say, hey, I know you're collecting this from me, but I want to contribute back to it. I mean, obviously he doesn't need the money. Or donate his food card to somebody else that does need it. I mean, I could see that as a way to correct this little issue. But lawmakers are going nuts saying, hey, we got to fix this now. It's like, where were you guys when this came out? Come on now. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, the guy doesn't have to take the food stamps.
Right.
But he's defending his right to do it. And the thing of it is, yeah, he has a right to do it because legally that's the way it's set up in Michigan right now. And guess what? The Michigan lawmakers need to go in and change that because that's some BS right there.
Yeah, they do need to change that. It's just, it's kind of strange. I mean, if I was in that situation, I'd say, here you go. I'm not going to need it. But you know, the thing is, though, there are so many people out there, when they win the lottery like this, they take the money and they go a little crazy. And they like...
go broke within a couple of years. Yeah,
exactly. Because they don't know how to handle this kind of money. They just think, oh, well, $1 million, that's going to last me for years and years. I'm just going to have it.
Yeah, I could go through $1 million in a weekend.
That reminds me of the movie Brewster's Millions, you know. Good movie. If you've never seen the movie Brewster's Millions, Richard Pryor played the part really well. I love that movie. It's on my one of my. I don't have a top 10 list, but that if I had a top 10 list, it would be there. I mean, of course, John Candy was still alive then too, so he was an excellent person in that. Any other thoughts on that before we move on?
Don't think so.
All right. Well, seeing as how we're having this special this Friday weekend or Rapture weekend, it's time for this. Yeah. Now, if you've been living, unless you've been living under a rock or in a rock, I guess, I don't know. The tomorrow on Saturday, well, by the time you hear this, it'll probably be Saturday or Sunday. That is, unless God comes back and claims everybody. But I've been following this story on Twitter, and there have people are going, oh, Rapture's here. nothing's happening. It's a big lie. I didn't even have to wait for the day to happen, and I already knew it was a big lie. We'd be doing this thing about the Ten Commandments. We're going to kind of suspend that, so we're going to talk about this right now for anybody who's been following that series, because this is kind of news. I mean, everybody's talking about it, but not that I don't want to talk about it, because I do, actually. I went to go have my scooter maintenance and get it set up, and they told me that some guy, some schmo, had spent his entire life savings to have a "The Rapture is Coming" billboard put out on the highway somewhere. I'm one of our local highways out here. I haven't seen it personally, but I've lived here long enough to know that that nuts are everywhere. You know, crazies are everywhere, and if that's exactly what he did, then he is going to be kicking himself come Sunday morning. Dan, please tell me. I have to hear this from somebody else other than myself, because this is just driving me ballistically crazy.
It's like all I can do is just laugh. It's like, oh my God. It's just so ridiculous. It hasn't been this widespread as far as people falling for it for a long time.
You know what? I blame the internet.
Yeah, well, a lot of it is. Because, you know, Harold Camping, the guy that has performed all his miracle math and come up with the magic date for the rapture to happen, which, you know, goes against what it says in the Bible, that one's supposed to know the hour or the day. Mm-hmm. But that didn't stop Harold in 94, but in 94, not as many people could hear it from him.
Right.
Now, everybody can.
Yeah. Yeah, it has really gotten out of control. I mean, and like I said, I kid not when I say I blame the internet on this, when we didn't have this kind of connection back then. I mean, if you look back through history, there is a whole litany of these idiots that claim that the world's coming to an end and Jesus is coming back. I mean, I actually got done watching Professor Myth. I'll have to get his Twitter handle. It'll be in the show notes. I just got done watching one of his, and he puts it right out there, all the way back to Jesus. And even Jesus was wrong about the returning of him, basically, and God and everything. He said it was going to be back within their lifetime. Didn't happen in their lifetimes. And then subsequently, every one of these nut jobs along the line say, "Oh, well, it's going to be back this year," and whatever, didn't happen. Then I heard rumor just the other day, as a matter of fact, it may be true, it may not be, that Camping is doing this to sell a book, another book. I mean, he sold one from last time, apparently, but if the rapture was coming, who's going to read it, really? I mean, is this what we missed out on? What do you think? If let's say the rapture happened back in 94, and I was, I don't know, 14 at the time, do you think I would be picking up Harold Camping's book or the Bible? I mean, really? this guy is so ridiculous.
It really is amazing.
Yes. People fall for this. And then the Christians I do know, and I tell them about this, and they go, "Oh, yeah, he's a nut job." But they don't sit there, but it doesn't click with them. It doesn't click if they're going, "Well, he's a nut job because he believes this." But they don't see it themselves, like, if they don't believe him, they don't see why we don't believe them for the same reason. They just don't make the connection. It's like cognitive dissonance of their parts.
Well, and a lot of that, you know, when some members of different Christian groups want to say how encompassing Christianity is, they'll include every Christian sect in their numbers.
Yeah.
Including Catholics. But when it comes to things like that, well, they aren't real Christians, and they aren't real Christians,
yeah.
And they aren't real Christians.
Yeah,
and this Christian guy who's saying this, he's not a real Christian, so you can't take him seriously. It's like, well, all these people that aren't real Christians, why do you count them in your numbers when it's convenient, but you don't when it's inconvenient,
right.
And they're giving evidence that they're nuts?
Right. It's the, as the Bible also says, he's a person on Twitter there, he also, true Christian versus true Christian. I've had these discussions with people on my personal Facebook and before I had to drop them because they were like totally lunatics. And they would say, I would tell them, you know who else was a Christian? Hitler. And you go, oh, no, Hitler wasn't a Christian. It's like, he said he was. And, well, that doesn't mean that he was. Yes, he thought he was. Doesn't mean he was. Like, so by that same logic, even though you think you're a Christian, means you're not a Christian. I mean, does that make sense to you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, basically the way that it works here in the U.S. these days is, you are what you self-identify as.
Right.
I self-identify as an atheist. Who is it to say that I'm not?
Right.
You know?
I actually had
and someone that self-identifies as a Christian. Who has the balls to tell them they're not?
Exactly. I had a guy several months ago. I was talking to him on Twitter, and he said, well, you just think you're an atheist. What? You know my mind better than I do? Excuse me? I mean, did I wake up in the morning and find myself in the Twilight Zone where everything you say is true? No. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, Miller, the Millerites in 1844.
Yeah.
October 22nd was going to be the day.
Oh, yeah.
It was going to be the second coming.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
No. There was, I remember reading that these people were out taking their Bibles, and they were standing outside the VFW or something like that, and they're all dressed up nice and sharp and everything. They're standing there waiting for Jesus to show up, and Jesus was a no-show. I have been seeing these rapture jokes online, and
yeah.
People are going, go to the church on Saturday, dressed all white and a beard and everything, say, hey everybody, this is Jesus, I'm back, and start signing autographs. So, or take out some clothes, throw them out in your yard or out in the street somewhere and make them look like just randomly throw them around, and it's like, yay, oh, look at these.
Somebody got raptured.
Yeah, somebody got raptured, yeah. And there's also a video from a movie or a TV show, I don't know which, that's floating around. I've tweeted it out a few times myself, where these two guys are talking in a truck, and they've got these balloons. Well, they're not balloons, but they're they're blow-up dolls, and they're not paying attention. Some kid runs out in front of them, and he stops short, and the things that are holding these blow-up dolls down comes open, and they start floating away, because they apparently had them set up for a party or something. So they fly up to the roof, and they drag them back down later, but that's not how this story is. I mean, the thing unravels. They start flying away. On the other side of this of the building where this is all happening, because this is in a suburban an urban area, and this woman is listening to her Christian station. She backs up and says, "I break for the rapture" on a bumper sticker. Seriously, it's like. And then she's hearing this, like, she's listening to a Christian radio station. Oh, you got to give it up for the guy. The guy's getting ready. She's, amen, and all this other garbage. And she goes out. She sees these bodies. These look like bodies floating up suddenly from the other side of the road. So she parks her car, and then she stops. She stares at them, and she is seeing angels. You know, the mind can play a lot of tricks on you. I mean, I don't do drugs. I've never seen angels. I mean, Charlie's Angels I've seen a few times, but that's that's a whole other show.
I saw God, and she's black.
Yeah, I heard that one too. And they go flying up. She parks the car, and she runs out into the street. Cars, she just barely gets missed by one car, and she's like, "Ah!" And it goes to black because she got nailed by a truck or something. Boom! She got raptured. Boom!
Yep. And the thing of it is, it's like, well, each one of these comes along. People have been predicting the second coming of Christ and the rapture for centuries. And, of course, each one of them has been wrong, and each one of them and their flock believed them to be correct up until the time it didn't happen.
Right.
It still brings me back around to this thing that each time, each group, where do you get the chutzpah to think that you and your particular clique are the one true religion?
Yeah.
Everybody else is wrong.
Yeah.
That takes...
I saw a tweet on this earlier.
It's not feeling.
Yeah, I saw a tweet on this earlier that said, how come God doesn't come down and say, hey, buddy, you're in the wrong religion? You know, that's a good question.
Oh. Breaking news.
Oh, you got breaking news.
No, let's see. Looks like camping might be backpedaling a little bit.
Oh, really? I've not been following my Twitter stream.
This was posted on Tuesday, but apparently on his radio station, he's been trying to find a way out in case it doesn't happen.
Yeah, you know, I saw an interview with him. It says, well, I don't want to... despite the facts, you know, they say, despite the facts, he goes, well, I'm not wrong, and there's nothing, you know, I'm not going to think about what happens if I'm wrong, because I'm right. And, like, I'm thinking, yeah, right. But this is good. This is good news that he's backpedaling now. These people, somebody had tweeted me a couple days ago, what are you going to do when God comes back? Is that going to be proof for you? And I said, I turned it around on him. I said, so when God doesn't show up, when he doesn't, and I'm most likely, since it's 99.999999%, sure, he's not coming back, because all these other people predicted the same thing. Are you going to say God? Are you going to say God doesn't exist at that point? And he never replied back. This guy has been hounding me for a while, so I like when I get back on Twitter again here, which I'm not watching the stream, but he's gonna get an earful from me. So, but anyway. I think we have raptured this one as far as it's going to go. So, we will be back next week, if Eric is still with us. which I'm sure he will be. We'll be back on talking about the differences of the Ten Commandments again. So, this was just good timing, because he had to go and... We had all this other thing. Otherwise, we'd be sitting here going, "I don't know." No. So let's get on with our tweet of the funny tweet of the day. Our funny tweet comes from Dirty Little Secret. This is another Dirty Little Secret. It's DIRTY, the word little, and SECRT. She retweeted somebody, ZARAIUS1. He wrote, I married my wife for her looks, but not the one she's given me lately.
Yeah.
I'm not married anymore, so at the time it's like, yeah, sort of, yeah. That's I could see that. I mean, you see these guys walk around with trophy wives, or women walk around with trophy husbands. How are you? Or trophy dog, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, there, you always get those days where they give you the look. And it's like, I screwed up somewhere. Are you going to tell me or do I have to guess? The thing is, I have daughters. Their mother has trained them well in the look. Especially this look. My oldest one, she just like gives me, like if she had x-ray or laser vision, she could burn a hole right through my skull and go, I'm like, ah! So, what did I do? You know, and then storm off. No, I don't. What did I do? Tell me. Ladies, us guys, we have no clue. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to clue you in right now. We have no clue. You have to tell us. We're just like, we're just big bags of meat walking around going, where's the steak? You know, or if you're a vegetarian, where's the celery? You know, unless you tell us, we don't know. Talk to us. Tell us. We as much as we want to read your mind, we can't. We really don't know. Anyway, I can't view that file. I don't know what you did with that one. Anyway, anything you want to say on that, Dan?
I can see where you come from on that. I think a lot of it is that, you know, men and women need to realize that men and women don't have completely synchronous thought processes. Men think in different ways slightly than women do. Mm-hmm. And often, you know, with different prioritizing going on. And that's life. If you learn to deal with it, you deal with it fine. If you don't learn to deal with it, you end up being Newt Gingrich.
Yeah. Oh, he is a bag of work. Dang, man, the guy is just nuts. If you haven't heard the story, and it's not of a lovely lady with three lovely girls, it's he's married to one woman, cheats on her, and while he's cheating on her, he's divorcing the first one. And then he's marrying the second one, and while he's getting the second one married, he's cheating on the second one with a third one, and now he's married to a third woman. I mean, he has all the morals of a rat, quite literally. It's just quite funny. All right, you have anything else to say on that, Dan?
No, we could go for miles on Gingrich. Oh, but,
yeah, could. We'll save that for next.
Well, week. let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. Let's move on to our.
Hey, you guys!
The shout out, since Eric is not here, and I did say last week for you to find somebody. I see you found somebody.
Yeah.
Well, you tell us about him.
A little shout out to someone that I enjoy seeing his tweets quite frequently. He has one hell of a sense of humor. He's an atheist going to university down in Atlanta, Georgia. And on Twitter, he goes by Reverend Xavier. That's R-E-V-E-R-E-N-D. X-A-V-I-E-R. Reverend Xavier is just funny as hell.
All right. I was looking, Reverend Xavier is like, I was thinking when I see Xavier, I think X-Men. So he's reading my mind. No,
he might be at times. See, we were talking about that the other day, actually. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Lovely. It just we've been watching the old X-Men series here, and the one from the 80s. There was apparently may have been one previous to that, but I've never seen it. But the one from the late 80s, 90s, something like that. 90s, whatever. No, it's 90s. Yes.
Yeah.
And we're just enjoying the series, you know, one at a time. I usually like to, when I get bored, I just put it in max mode, just like watch story after story after story until I like either fall asleep or I don't want to watch it anymore. But we're taking it a little slow so we can actually sit back and enjoy it, you know, and engross on it. So, alrighty.
Well, Matt, next you have to try that with the from the 70s, the Star Trek, the animated series. You know, sit back and watch that and sit in a corner and drool and wonder why you ever watched it.
But yeah. I had a moment like that when I was watching Space 1999. I was...
Love that show.
When I was a kid, I was like, oh, yeah, you get the lady that changes into all kinds of animals. I was like yeah.
Maya, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, it took me a while to find out who she was, but I thought she was a different actress than she actually was. But it turns out that she wasn't who she said, who I thought it was. I thought it was actually, it doesn't matter who I thought it was, but because it's not her. So,
Our memories of things like that tend to be less and less accurate as we go along.
Yes.
And it gives rise to the good old days, because there was no such thing as the good old days. Never was.
Right. Or we have fond memories of a show.
Golden glow around our memories of like that.
Yeah. Fond memories for a show that we thought was so cool at the time when we were looking at it, and I was like, why did I like this thing? All right, we have, we actually got a form, we got a random question from Formspring. I forgot to get this from Eric. I'll have to pick his brain on this later. But the question of the day we got from Formspring was, what is your favorite app on your computer or your phone? I mean, pretty simple question. I thank you whoever sent that out to us. Dan, what is your favorite computer app or program or application on one of your cell phones?
The only application I use on my cell phone is Opera Mini. Well, Google Maps occasionally, but as far as computer applications go, gosh, I use so many different things. Yeah. And one of my favorites, though I'm unable to use a native Linux version because they don't make one yet. Hint, hint.
Yeah. Get working, guys.
Yeah. Google SketchUp.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. I make 3D models of existing buildings to submit to Google for them to use in Google Earth.
Oh, cool.
And Google SketchUp is... a lot of fun to use. It's gotten much better over the last 2 years, and I really have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I can understand why. It sounds like it's very labor. It's very intellectually intensive. You have to know where everything is.
Yeah, it can be, definitely. Yeah. But it's very easy to learn to use, which is a joy compared to many programs.
Yes, for myself. On my computer, I spend more time in Twirl and my Twitter application than I do anything else anymore. I would hop from program to program to program, but that one is the one I spend most of my time in nowadays. Right now, I had other favorites, but you know they always fall by the wayside eventually. But so far, right now, Twirl. It's at twirl.org. It's a very simple Twitter client. There's no filters, no lists, and you get everything in one screen. But I have several accounts, and I like to see those accounts separated, and it makes it easier for me to keep A and B away from each other so I can know what's going on over here. Even though if I don't get back to it right away, at least I can scroll back on it without having to scroll through my entire timeline. As for my phone, I would have to say I have a couple there. The, what is that one? It's where you check in everywhere you go. It's
Foursquare.
Foursquare, thank you very much. Foursquare, yeah. I'm either using Foursquare or I'm using another one. It's called Trapster. I love this program because I have to travel around a lot, and And at the time of the day I travel, the cops are like hiding in the dark. And I cannot I cannot stand it when a cop... If a cop sits there with his... He's got his headlights on or something on, a light in his dome on, I have no problem. I won't report them. I mean, I don't... Well, not to their bosses, because they're the ones who probably tell them to do this. But they sit there completely dark, waiting for you to come along. As far as I'm concerned, this is like, have you ever heard Robin Hood? And who hasn't? this is them hiding in the... This is them stealing from us legally, as far as I'm concerned. But people are saying I have my blog post, my personal blog post on this. I basically call them thieves in the night, because this is what they do. They sit in the dark. Myself, now I have... there was one time, actually, I was coming back from lacrosse, and I have my radar detector in there, and it was going off. So I slowed down a little bit. I wasn't going that much faster, but just enough. I probably could have gotten pulled over if somebody would, if they wanted to. They say one over, they can pull you over if they want to.
Yeah. Five, you're fine. 10, you're mine.
Right, exactly. And I get down the road, and I'm picking it up sporadically. It's like this. I'm looking around. I'm in the middle of really nowhere out on this road. And I'm picking up sporadic. And then I get to this one small clearing. And then I see this guy standing out in the middle, right in the middle of the median. And he's pointing to something at me. Like, I can just barely make it out. I get up to him, and he's standing there holding a radar gun. And his car is nowhere to be seen. I get up a little closer. As I'm passing by, his car is... The median is ditched down, so you can't see it. He could have been hiding... he hit his squad car right down there. If he would have had to get out... If he would have had to chase after somebody, he would have had to go back, run to his car, and then try to get out of that median, and then he'd get down the road. But... They sit on bridges and off ramps and they're running around in unmarked cars. I mean, yeah, they're doing their job, fine. And speeders do kill. I grant you that. People will said that to me before, that they're stopping speeders. It keeps the road safe. Well, there's also the people who drive way too slow, and then they make the rest of us crazy, and we have to go speeding past them because they're making us late.
But I mean, you look at the situation with the Autobahn in Germany, and the accidents that happen at higher speeds on the Autobahn are more deadly than accidents that happen at lower speeds.
But you know what? The Autobahn is actually safer.
Exactly.
Because they maintain the roads better.
Yep.
And, They have a very, very strict licensing. Not just anybody can go, like here, they hand out licenses like candy bars.
I wish they would implement an IQ test as part of the driving test.
Oh, please. That would be nice. Keep some of these nuts off the road. To anybody that's of another language, please don't take this personally. But what they do is they put the roads rules or whatever and the stop signs or whatever in their own language. I mean, it's very nice, It helps them so they can get their driver's license. However, and this is going to sound really bad, but all the stop signs and things I ever see, they're in English. If these people who come here, they want to live here, that's fine. But if you're going to live somewhere, you should learn what language is on the stop signs and the billboard or on the wrong way, roadways. I mean,
that reminds me of an incident I can remember from several years back. I live in a university town. And we've got a lot of students here, a lot of grad students that are from overseas.
Right.
And, in order to get around town, you have to have a driver's license.
Right.
Gentleman was helping his wife to get her driver's license.
Right.
They were, they might have been grad students, I'm not sure. They were a little bit older. Uh-huh. But I get the impression she didn't speak very good English.
Yeah.
Now there is a little machine that they use to test your peripheral vision.
Right.
And it's got a little flashing light. And you know, you have to say, okay, which side do you see the little flashing LED on?
Right.
So they, you know, okay, put your face up here to the machine, and she does, and the woman or gentleman from the DMV, I can't remember which, said, okay, which side is the flashing light on?
Mm-hmm.
Yellow. No. Which side is the flashing light on, left or right? Yellow.
Language barrier, shall we?
She did it 4 times.
Oh, see, that's just in a crunch situation, and we've all been on the road. There is no time to make this kind of mistake, especially 4 times in a row. You got to know what's going on.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. Well, I want to thank everybody that came. The yellow side there. Thank you, 7654. I want to thank everybody that came to the chat room today. Zach's mine, Chaos Agents. RC Palace com and
RCToyPalace.com.
Yeah,
and for all your radio controlled toy needs.
Yes, he's got those.
Dennis has very cool toys.
Oh, does he now? Well, maybe we can talk Dennis into give us a he's got a free plug there now, so maybe we can talk him into paying for an ad next time. So. I do want to apologize for the lack of video. This is something that was wrong with Ustream tonight, but nothing I could do. Not my fault. But anyway, we're going to wrap it up here because we're running a little long. We're only a little over an hour now. You can find Dan on Twitter at
Rel Unrelated. That's RELUNRELATED. Relatively Unrelated.
Right. And you can find the Twitter for the show at PackardPokesAt, all one word. And you can find me on Twitter. And I keep forgetting I keep forgetting myself. I'm Packard_Sonic on Twitter. Or if you can't reach me there, try because I might be in Twitter jail. It's just PackardSonic, all one word. You can get Eric Laquette's Twitter at, I got to find his Twitter account. I don't know it off the top of my head. I have to keep going to, I have to keep going back into my accounts and find his name. And
It's ELUQUE1696.
Thank you very much, Dan. Save my bacon again. I love bacon. you can find the show also. You can find the show on iTunes. just type in Packard Pokes At, and we're the only one on there. You can also find the show notes at Packard Pokes At, all one word, .wordpress.com. I want to thank again everybody for showing up and the people that did stick around. And next time, everybody, bring a friend. Bring 5 friends. Bring 10 friends. Even if you don't know them, just bring them in here. So, and we'll see everybody next week.
And that's a wrap.